on 150 to 1 odds, inside credit if your bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now. It's simple. Or visit FanDuel.com/sportsbook to bet today. Must be 21 or over and physically present in Indiana. First wager only. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable site credit that expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. Minimum $1 moneyline wager. Maximum $150 bonus. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on Radio.com? Download the app or head to Radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
The White Sox signing all-star catcher Yasmani Grandal to a 4-year, $73 million deal. And the television analyst for the White Sox, Steve Stone, kind enough to join us now. What do you think of the move?
I really like it. That was one of the needs that I thought the Sox had when they ended last year. The guys that make the contact, put the pressure on the defense, those are the teams that were playing in the World Series. And I think with Grandal, you got a guy who will take a base on balls, will put the bat on the ball, and he gives them a switch hitter, but certainly a guy from the left side that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. I think because of the flexibility of Grandal, he's going to be able to keep that left-hand bat in the lineup, especially against right-handed starters. Whether it's first base, designated hitter, behind the plate, you're going to see his left-handed bat quite a bit.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Hi, this is former NFL quarterback Gus Frat, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my new podcast, Huddle Up with Gus, where my co-host Dave and I interview our guests about how sports shape their lives. Jump in the huddle to find out what famous sports writer got caught stealing avocados, how an NFL legend had to convince his mom to let him play peewee football, or how a supermodel became a beach volleyball star. We all know the best stories are told in the huddle. Join Huddle Up with Gus, a Radio.com original podcast at Radio.com or on the new Radio.com app.
Cash the Ticket,
a Mike Valenti podcast.
PJ Fleck, he's got to start winning. He has to, because it has not gone good for his tenure so far. And this
plus
is a game.
He dresses like a barber.
Yeah.
What is it with the jogger up, with the shirt and tie? He looks like a 1940s barber.
Well, this is a game he can't drop. Minnesota has been pretty good against the non-conference, but in terms of covering the spread, I think this is just simply a game that Minnesota has to have.
Cash the Ticket. Get it on Radio.com and Apple iTunes.
Join the Wildcats, Welsh Ryan Arena, tomorrow as they take on Fred Hoiberg's Nebraska Cornhuskers. 3:30 tip. Tickets on sale now at NUSports.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our Radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score! There's a question out there I'm sure a lot of people are asking. That's number one, who am I? Well, maybe I can explain that a little bit better, but instead of saying who am I, by telling you what's relevant in this conversation with being a coach of the New York Giants, what I'm about. And what I'm about is an old school physical mentality, okay? We're going to put a product on the field that the people of this city and region will be proud of, because this team will represent this area. We will play fast. We'll play downhill. We'll play aggressive. We'll punch you in the nose for 60 minutes. We'll play every play like it is a history and a life of its own with a relentless competitive attitude.
I guess. Okay.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. That is Joe Judge, not to be confused with Matt Rhule.
No, a judge and a rule. Pretty
there
rigid guys.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Let's thank everyone. Oh, my goodness. We want to thank you for calling and texting and emailing. And
thank you for listening.
That
football,
means a lot to
football,
us.
Football,
that means everything to us. You're talking. Want to thank Dustin. You can't. You're talking over the thank you to Dustin. How dare you?
Right. I know.
Dustin, we love you, and we're sorry that you've been disrespected.
Well, your campaign of terror, murder, mayhem people. Will not be tolerated.
Tempo! He's wearing a Reds hat, or maybe a Japanese baseball hat. I don't know what he's wearing, but bless you, kind sir.
He's weak and he's ineffective.
That's our guy. And Ray, I don't know how to say it, without getting a little bit emotional, but thank you.
Isn't it pathetic?
Sad that I can't pull myself together to thank Ray, but now we welcome in Dan Burson.
Isn't it pathetic?
That's the
morning, guys.
It's
morning.
A Hiroshima carp. Hat,
yes,
is that the carp?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, good.
Is that the carp?
Not a carp on the hat. Is that a carp?
No.
An anthropomorphic carp?
It's a little baseball man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little batter man. Not the idea.
It's a great hat. You guys are all right.
So we talked to Rick Renteria. It's very exciting to think about the White Sox lineup, and I know that...
Did you tell him to stop bunting?
No.
We didn't? Someone has to.
Well, we asked him about defense.
And have to now.
We thought we were being negative anyway. There's a lot to be excited about. We'll ask him about bunting later. There's plenty of time for that.
Yeah, we were looking a couple of days ago. We were looking at the some of the early projection metrics, depth charts and Steamer, the FanGraphs uses to look at individual players. And when you see that Nicholas Castellanos is projected as a 1.5 win player next year by both of these systems, and we're talking about $20 million a year for a guy whose body of work suggests he's fine. Maybe he overachieves. Maybe he's a 2-win player.
He's talking about the $20 million. Has he gotten it yet?
No, he hasn't.
Is he waiting for the Cubs to give it
to him? He hasn't, but he had a terrific stretch with the Cubs. An absolutely marvelous stretch. But he's a 28-year-old guy who is what he is. He didn't all of a sudden become what he is at his best, at his absolute, like, this freakish.
So you think that's going to be a bad contract to whatever team that signs him?
Kinda, depending on it's shaping up to be.
It's been reported 4 years, $80 million, right?
That's I do too.
Right around 20. Around
that. Yeah, I'm correct, reporting yeah. that I also want that.
Yeah, but your defense sucks too.
Yes, it does.
I think.
No, he's very defensive.
Castellanos, oh, him? Yeah, no, he's
no, very I'm not.
Offensive too.
How dare you?
I think with Castellanos, it's two things, right? I mean, everybody watched him. We all watched him play defense in Detroit. It wasn't good at all. And I think the other part of it is if you take that bat away from Detroit's ballpark, where it is nearly impossible to hit home runs, this is a giant thing, then he ought to produce more.
Right.
And I think you saw that in the National League. I think you saw that at Wrigley Field. I think you saw more doubles. So I think hopefully that bat outweighs the defense. And for those reasons, if I'm an American League team looking at Nick Castellanos, I'm a lot more happy to sign him than I would be if I were a National League
team. Yeah, doubles machine.
Fine with that.
He's one of these guys, too, where, and you're going to get sick of me saying this, but tell me which ball we're using. Because so much of this money, so much of this, do I have to pay for power? Do I have to, at what price power? Because this is where you're trying to figure out, if I know that contact in general is going to be more powerful, that changes the way I value some of these bats.
I like the Twins better when they were banging the ball off the plate.
Five players
out of the park.
With 30 home runs.
Yeah, well, that's going to regress.
Piranhas. Well, the pariahs will fall apart once you stop juicing the ball, right?
See, isn't that what Edwin Encarnacion feels question. Like for the White Sox? Isn't that your insurance policy against the ball fluctuating back to something that's more dead? This guy who's averaged 30 home runs each of the last eight seasons?
Yeah, that's pretty good consistency.
And you've sacrificed, I think the White Sox have sacrificed a defensive level that I'd be a lot more comfortable with. I don't love Aloy in the corner. I don't love Nomar Mazara in the corner. Mm-mm. And Edwin Encarnacion can't play defense anywhere. And Jose Abreu
first base. He's going to play some first base.
Okay.
That's what he said yesterday.
It's going to be probably rough, right?
But what about Ricky saying that they're going to cut Tim Anderson's errors in half?
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That would be amazing for them. That'd be absolutely fantastic. But if the ball goes into the outfield, I don't know if Tim Anderson can get to everything fast as he is.
You know, Anderson wasn't all that bad last year.
No, we were talking about that. The numbers.
Yeah, outs like above 21st. Average. He wasn't.
Were you the one talking about that? Is that where I heard it?
Could have been. We were looking at the metric outs above average.
Yes.
And he was, I think it was like minus one.
Yeah. No. It was like middle of the pack.
Yeah, slightly below water.
You would expect that it would have been worse if you watched and you saw the errors and all the rest.
As a shortstop with that volume and those throws, minus one is pretty decent.
And also, guys with great range make more errors. Guys who get to more balls. It's sort of like when you look at who in the NBA is always leading the league in turnovers. It's usually the best players
guys
in the league.
Handle the ball
guys more. Who have the ball, incredibly high usage rates. You know, Javier Baez made, 15 errors last year, something like that? And he was the best infielder in baseball.
Right.
Because some of these are at the very edges of his range. Sure. How many chances is he going to get? How many difficult throws is he going to make that ends up with a throwing error because of a ball only he could get to?
If he doesn't sign an extension, he needs to stop being that good so he can be considered great.
Well, today's that day, right? I mean, today is the day that arbitration numbers get submitted from players and from ownership.
Busy
from
day teams. In baseball. Yeah, a lot going on.
You know, that's not, we're going to talk to Sahadev Sharma a little bit later today. It's not the end all for a potential extension with Javi Baez and the Cubs, but putting those figures down really, I mean, that starts to change the tenor.
Well, that would be a huge story if they're able to sign him to an extension today.
Yeah, well, yeah, even if it's not, I mean, you could still do it before you submit those salaries, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's more realistic.
I think so, too. But once you have those numbers out and public, I think the tenor of that conversation changes a little bit, especially against a backdrop of a Cubs franchise, an organization that seems really focused on staying under the luxury tax.
In limbo. Right now, they're in limbo. Yeah, they want to stay under the tax, but they're going to make a deal.
They have to.
They're going to make a big deal before spring training. I mean, spring training is February 12th, pitchers and catchers report.
Right.
Yep, that's going to be...
That's relatively soon.
It's like in a month.
Yes. Well, it is, and I think with a first-time, first-year manager, you owe it to him to have a little bit of stability and awareness and ducks in a row, because I know they talked to him a lot in the interview about how he's going to run spring training. This is a more significant spring training than some of the others we've had, because this is when he sets the tone. This is when he will give the expectations. It's not just, oh, Joe's rolling into town, he's going to do some cockamamie thing with his RV or whatever it is, and the players all brace for it. You know, I'm not a huge believer in the intangibles stuff. The Cubs are. They profess to be. And if this is going to get done, I'm not saying they have to hurry, but you don't want instability and a lack of clarity in this particular spring training. I would think that they don't, based on what they've said.
If they don't make a deal before spring training, then every member of the media, every player on that team, every coach in that organization spends the entire 4 months waiting to the deadline for the next shoe to drop. Because that's the stage that's been set for 2 years now.
It's going to be a weird convention.
Yeah, that will be strange. Chris Bryant's committed to it, though. His name is on the list. The only players that aren't supposed to be here are Lester and Kimbrel. So it will be kind of awkward, you know, if as far as those things go. But they're not going to, you know, that never dictates whether or not they're going to, when they make a move. It's just going to be strange because nothing's changed.
I mean, I get that some of the fans are upset, but let me tell you something. Those conventions, it's like a comedian talking about playing Vegas. Everyone in Vegas is like, happy, I'm on vacation, I'm half in the bag, let's have some fun. It's not a negative crowd. Even at a convention, I would be stunned, having been to a lot of these Cubs conventions, if people actually turned on anyone. I just don't think they have it in them. I think the fans show up.
I don't think they
the
want to. I don't think people show up wanting to feel that way.
No, but sometimes those question and answer sessions can become a little contentious.
Yeah, I've been to some of those Sox ones when they got a little contentious. But those were fun. I mean, it was, and there was good information, and there was like a spirit of everybody kind of, you know, well, I'll tell you why I'm mad, because you ought to do what I want you to do. Well, I can't do what... It's great.
It's good. It's like Prime Minister's questions at some point, right? They're grumbling in the background, and you know, those things are all good.
What the hell's going on with those crazy kids? Dan, have you talked to the Sussexes?
I haven't.
But about the prefix?
There was a wonderful tweet that someone said, this is the first time ever someone has decided they're stepping away from their family to spend more time with their jobs.
They have jobs? In the old days.
They want to.
You'd start killing your brother. You'd start lining yourself up.
Oh, Shakespearean. Yeah.
I'm just saying. That's all gone. You can't get away with it. No one wants you to take over the reign. Okay. Right.
Oh, fratricide and regicide and everything.
Damn, millennials ruined everything.
That's what I'm saying. It's changed now. You got to step aside.
And they're going to come here. They want to spend more time
in
here.
Chicago.
I don't know about Chicago, but
right down over by there. That's where they wanted to go hang out.
Yeah, we've decided we want to spend more time in the back of the yards.
Oh, let's see. Opening day is March 26th. Let's see. Can they be here by then?
As a man that went to high school with some dudes from the back of the yards.
I'm sure you did.
Maybe I ought to drop you off there after you're done today. My God.
But we're already not allowed in Hagwish.
No mockery.
That.
No mockery.
Jimmy at Elmwood Park is on line six.
Not a fan.
What have you today?
Oh, we're going to have a fun Friday for you. Hub Arkish at 10, Midday Midway at 10:40. Sahadev Sharma is going to give us his Cubs perspective at 11. And then we're going to do a little fun baseball bit after that because of MLB.com came up with a list that Connor is just so enjoying.
Have a good show, guys.
Have a great weekend, fellas.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
I'm done.
Listen for a special Radio.com Sports NFL Divisional Round playoff preview of You Better You Bet. Saturday and Sunday morning, live on The Score from 9 to 11. It's Nick Costas, live from Chicago, along with Joe O and Danny Parkins, plus Chad Millman from the Action Network, breaking down the games and giving you the best insights on making the best bets for the games.
Live from the studio, 670 The Score in Chicago.
He played that game like a fiddle.
Josh Allen went over rushing yards on the first drive of the game.
It's You Better You Bet, live this Saturday and Sunday on The Score from 9 to 11 a.m. The Score is a Radio.com sports station.
1-877 Cards for Kids. KARS Cards for Kids. 1-877 Cards for Kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 Cars for Kids, KARS Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids, donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cars for Kids, KARS Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids, donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Lawrence Holmes here. Check out my podcast, LoHo Daily. I record it every day before or after the show. And here's what it is. It's me doing stuff that I can't get to on the show. Sports stuff, geek stuff, whatever's on my mind that day. I get a long form way to do it.
And I'm glad that the Bears are out here trying to make these kickers earn their jobs.
Check out LoHo Daily. Download the latest episode now from the radio.com app or online at 670thescore.com.
Listen for a special Radio.com Sports NFL Divisional Round playoff preview of You Better You Bet. Saturday and Sunday morning, live on The Score from 9 to 11. It's Nick Costas, live from Chicago, along with Joe O and Danny Parkins, plus Chad Millman from the Action Network, breaking down Vikings 49ers.
Garoppolo with time.
Firing, it is caught by Kendrick Bourne for the touchdown.
Titans Ravens.
47-yard touchdown run by the magical quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
Texans Chiefs.
Touchdown. Only Mahomes.
And Seahawks Packers.
Wilson keeps. The rookie. Touchdown.
Listen in as the guys give you the best insights on making the best bets for the game.
Live from the studio, 670 The Score in Chicago.
We played that game like a fiddle.
Josh Allen went over rushing yards on the first drive of the game.
It's You Better You Bet. Live this Saturday and Sunday on The Score from 9 to 11 a.m. The Score is a Radio.com sports station.
Hey Bulls fans, Chuck Swirsky
and Bill Wennington.
We bring you all the action of every Bulls game right here
on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame! Put him in the Hall! He's got seven threes!
Wow.
That was a big time shot right there.
Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And right here on 670thescore.com.
A radio.com sports station. An official radio home of the Bulls.
Radio.com presents the 5th annual The Night Before.
The Night Before the biggest game on the planet.
Saturday, February 1st at BB&T Center. Starring Zach Brown Band. Tickets are on sale now at all Ticketmaster outlets. Zach Brown Band at The Night Before.
Hey, folks, this is Zach Brown.
Little bit of chicken fried.
The 5th annual The Night Before. Presented by Radio.com. Always on. Fit just right.
And the radio. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
NFL insider Michael Lombardi.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Michael.
How are things in Chicago? Is Ryan Pace going to do the coin toss? That's what I want to know.
He should, shouldn't he?
We are so confounded and confused by the conflict in statement from their news conference to end the season, where we discovered that Mitch is the starter and the coach is the play caller, and he's going to hold on to that role, and they believe in him. And oh, by the way, 3 hours later, they fired four coaches.
What do you think Eddie Jackson thinks? What do you think Akeem Hicks thinks? What do you think Khalil Mack really thinks when he hears the leader of the organization come out and say, we're going to bring Mitchell back and he's our starter? They know. Like, you can't fool them. Like, they know. They'll look and say, that guy's full of it. He don't know what he's doing.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Will Perdue.
As soon as they came out and said, you know, we want to put ourselves in position to be in the playoffs, I was like, thank you. So that's where my expectations are every single night. At times, they've actually played fairly well. But what we haven't seen is those games where they play a complete 48. At some point, you got to stand up and take a stand and say, hey, the way we're playing, it's just not good enough to win. And I know that Boylan has used this exact word. He said, there's no disconnect. What are you talking about? I don't think there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect somewhere because something's not flowing. Is there a piece of the track missing so the train can't go from one end of the track to the other? Because his teams are making the necessary adjustments, but it seems like the Bulls aren't. And why aren't they? Is that the coaches? Is that the players? Where's the disconnect that you're not getting those things?
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Happy Friday. Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Hub Arkish talks football at 10. Midday Midway at 10:40. Our buddy Sahadev Sharma will have the latest on the doings of the Chicago Cubs at 11. And we have surprises along the way as well. And one of those surprises for you may be the opportunity to win $1,000 with a lucky text keyword. So you have to be listening for that chance. You don't want to miss it. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You send a text to 67011. We'll reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
All right. Real simple. There's one question. Only one answer. Whoever gets it, you're playing for $10,000. That's it. Whoever guesses this wins the game. Here we go. Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken. Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
Spinach, Jerry.
Oh, no.
That is Family Feud Canada.
It's the wrong Popeye.
Chicken!
The confidence, too.
Swing and a miss.
I've never been as confident about anything in my life.
It's like, chicken! No, it's
me. No, it's not.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken!
No. Second favorite, no. Maybe. Maybe, but his supernatural strength, unfortunately, did not come from the wonderful spicy chicken. God, that's great.
Wow. God, you're right. The confidence.
Yep.
The sheer, brash confidence of it all.
Chicken! I like fried chicken.
That's our dude.
That's our guy. Yeah. That's I like fried what? What do you want? 12? I just had a hack and a coffee, and now I like fried chicken. That's what I do.
Standing in line. I like fried chicken. Don't give me that look. Who doesn't like fried chicken? Get off of me. That's the dude right there.
It's chicken.
Self-explanatory.
It's chicken.
When you download the radio.com app, you can do all kinds of things. You can stream the score on your mobile devices. You can also video stream the show right there on the radio.com app. You can also go to watch670thescore.com. And by the way, it looks like a million damn dollars.
Despite that it's you and I.
I know.
Yes, it looks really good.
We joked about it, and we made fun of the people that were retrofitting the studio and the whole thing. And like, what do we do? You know what?
Yep.
It works. They actually got it right. The high-def cameras, and I've been in here when the engineers have been talking about them, and we always make fun of this place, you know, when they do something, you know, so cheaply or did something.
We'll get it done. It'll be fine.
Always a little less than you expect. Not in this case.
This is nice.
What they said, and they're not even done yet. They're adding more bells and whistles
and
visual things to it. So we live in a multimedia world now. We really do. I know it's a radio show, but by the time we get done with our workday, having done now, would they loop back video and they tweet video, and they will put stuff on Facebook, and you can actually, you know, go there on the Facebook page, and by liking the 670 the score page, be part of that too, is that, you know, after Bears games, or you would do a video and I'm writing a column, and then it links to something we talked about. Everything is everything now, thanks to Brian and Keith and everybody and Cody and all that. That I try to explain to people. People are like, well, how's the business change? Well, we used to do a radio show and go home.
Uh-huh.
Now the show never ends.
At all. Not even a little bit.
Nope,
we're on camera. We're on Twitter. It's really great. And it looks good, too.
They've done a nice job with it. So I really do suggest that you check out the video feed if you do want to sort of watch and follow along. Our producers are Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz, in the back doing what he does. I can't get away at this point from looking at these playoff teams, all the teams that are here.
Sure.
And this whole slate of action, you know, the score is going to have the NFL games on Sunday, Texans at Chiefs and Seahawks at Packers. Mm. You're going to hear all that right here on 670 The Score. And especially when these coaches get hired, and this is the time of year for NFL context. This is the time of year where you can take stock of your team.
Yeah.
Because so much is being done and said that matters. Teams are hiring and firing coaches and executives, putting the staffs together. We're hearing what other coaches say about their teams, what general managers say about their coaches, about their expectations. And then right in front of us is the evidence at hand. Are the teams who are the good teams doing what they do against other good teams? There's a whole lot of context to be had for your Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I want to give you some evidence to exactly what you're saying, but I want to add one more layer here on this, because I've been thinking quite a bit about a coaching hire in the NFL that on its face seemed kind of ridiculous, and it's the Matt Rhule hire in Carolina. There is also ownership saying things with money, right? Money is speech. I feel like we know that by now. That is a statement made. That is via the 6 years and $60, $70, $80 million, whatever it is that Matt Rhule's going to make over the time with all the bonuses. That is a commitment by ownership to the long-term process that many franchises in the NFL have abandoned. Freddie Kitchens is out after 1 year. You've got two-year coaches that are absolutely gone. One and done's all over the place. Mm-hmm. There is a process that the Panthers have committed to. Now, whether they got the right coach or not, nobody knows. But they have committed to a process of building something around it. So, take a look at your Chicago Bears. Take a look at how many times Matt Nagy told you this is a process. How many times Ryan Pace has kind of moved himself back in the draft, moved some things down the road, and set himself up for longer, more building processes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong.
The timetable.
It's that kind of commitment in the NFL that seems to be the next sort of bubbling wave, right? Maybe more than schematics, maybe more than a focus on running the balls in these playoffs, which we're going to talk about in a sec. Maybe more than that, this is where teams can find some sort of market inefficiency. And instead of changing over everything every 2.5 years, some sort of process, if you have a couple of the right guys, is something to build on. Now, I'm not saying the Bears have everything they need to build on.
But doesn't that reinforce some of the worst aspects of some teams, the reluctance to change? Isn't that what we criticize them for? Are we now going to laud them for a longer-term perspective? Is that inherently good? Or is it all a matter of intent? I think when the Giants hired Pat Shurmur after Ben McAdoo, that was not of the mind of we're going to cashier this guy after 2 years.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Right, you don't
with
want to
Shurmur,
do that.
But I think if you look at the Cleveland Browns, that was very much catch lightning in the bottle, poorly run franchise, tries to make franchise quarterback happy,
right.
And that doesn't work with drunken yokels, so you have to go to an actual, well, theoretically to an actual coach. I don't know who they end up hiring. Here's what I'm looking
at. Josh McDaniels is on the plane.
Yeah, so I don't know about an actual coach or who they end up hiring.
They sent the plane for him. The Haslams are going to go get him.
Did you know
there was the Indy thing, though?
Yes.
There's that whole problem.
There's also the whole, he's Josh McDaniels, and we have no idea if he's a good head coach or not.
No. We even don't know. Well, yeah. So in the 2019 regular season, the Ringer put this out. In the 2019 regular season, only six teams ran on more than 45% of their plays. Want to give a guess as to how many of those six teams are in the playoffs right now?
Four.
Five.
Okay.
Five of the six teams that ran the ball on more than 45% of their plays are in the playoffs.
Right. It's very easy to draw a wrong conclusion from
those
numbers.
Yes, it is. That's why I bring it up.
Because somebody, I think it's fair to point out, the team, good teams that have a lead in games are going to run the clock out by running the ball. They're not trying to conserve time. You know who throws a lot? Teams that are losing.
Yeah, I'll do you one better, too. The Ravens run the ball differently than anyone in the NFL. That is not... You have to take that club, move them over here, and address them differently than any offense in the NFL. You know this. I know this. The casual view. Even if you don't like, even if you're down on Lamar Jackson, which at this point, if you are, then you got something wrong with you. But if you've looked at it and said, it's just a gimmick offense. Fine. That's a gimmick offense that's scoring a whole bunch of points and is basically unstoppable in most cases.
Yeah, but to use the pejorative gimmick offense, you also have a unicorn of a player.
Of course you do.
And sometimes you're going to have offenses that look weird when a player can't be placed in one of the usual buckets as far as what he does for you, and that's good coaching.
In my mind, that's how we arrive at the confluence of a long-term process, organizations committing to a system that develops, and the change that is inherent in the NFL. You have to have, it seems to me, that you have to have a coaching staff and an offensive schematic that is able to change and adapt to the players you have. You have to realize these things. You have to take advantage of the things that your guys do, like unicorns. You might not have one. You might not have that one guy like Lamar Jackson, but maybe you got a couple of skill sets. Look at the fullback for the 49ers. I mean, there are a lot of offenses in the NFL that look at that guy and go, I don't know. He's kind of limited as an athlete. He's got a willingness to put his head in there and get us a block or something like that. And Kyle Shanahan looks at him and goes, we have an opportunity here to dictate terms to help a quarterback that's not been in a whole lot of games. Jimmy Garoppolo has made 26 starts in the NFL. And as much as Kirk Cousins has, you know, all this shot taken at him about not winning big games and finally coming up big, Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't performed well and hasn't had a whole lot of big game exposure to begin with. I think both of those guys are as big a question as anything. But the 49ers, talk about teams that run the ball in the playoffs and hoping that the Bears would run the ball just a little bit more this last season too. The 49ers dictate terms and then hopefully, in the best laid plans, arrive at a place where they're able to ask their quarterback to go, okay, I know it's 3rd and 5, but at least it ain't 3rd and 8, right? Let's get it downfield and go. And by the way, here's George Kittle for you.
Well, that
helps him too.
That helps too.
Of course, it does.
When you have a guy who's commanding that much attention from the defense, but that's interesting. When you say dictate terms, is that a Shanahan thing?
It is. Yeah, I was listening to a post game of his, or not a post game, just a media session of his. I think yesterday, day before, something like that. And that's how he views the fullback in the NFL right now. That's how he views the employment of a fullback. God, we yelled and screamed, didn't we, for weeks about the Bears trying to use a fullback and having a roster that Olin Krutz was one of the first guys on it. use a fullback and help establish the run that way.
I would really like to see what Shanahan means, like see him on the board. I'd like to get him on the grease board and show me how merely having a fullback allows him to dictate whether or not it could be zone, it could be man. Mm-hmm. I need to see that.
I think it's about run blitz
concretely.
Stuff. It's about blitz fit. You know, if you just have the running back there, the quarterback's not taking anybody, so 2 yards downfield, sure, maybe you shake the linebacker or get the guard, a pulling guard to the linebacker or something. There is still the next unblocked defender if you don't have the fullback, and that makes the running back one-on-one far too early on in the scheme.
Yeah, but a guy who thinks offensively would think, the fullback will bring a linebacker closer to my quarterback sometimes. If you talk about those, the green dog blitzes, where that linebacker says, look, this is my guy. If he's here, I'm here. Where if you don't have the fullback, that linebacker's got to be running in a different direction.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that I buy that just that the very nature of the position in and of itself inherently allows an offensive advantage, which it seems like what Shanahan's saying.
Sure. Yeah. There's a difference, too. Remember, Kyle Shanahan was one of the better and more athletic fullbacks in football. You know, I mean, I know there's not a whole lot of these guys.
No, the Minnesota guys are kind of a blocky type of mm-hmm. I don't know. He's a wall, and they can't ask him to flip his hips, and they threw a pass to him.
It's like Klingschmidt, right? I mean, he's that guy. He's an Owen. Well, it's a kid from West Virginia that's got blood rushing down his face this last decade. Owen
Meany.
Something or other. No. Yeah, no, it's like a Van Olhoffen name or something like that.
Yeah, there were every once in a while you get a multi-skilled guy, but now in college, how many colleges are going to use a really good athlete as a fullback? They're tight ends or they're linebackers. Guys with that body type in college.
They're linebackers.
This is now something, if you want to do this at the NFL level, you're not scouting college fullbacks, are you? I mean, you're looking at a superior athlete that you're going to then make into one.
But it's a head coach identifying something that this player does exceptionally well and then taking advantage of it. And for my money, I don't think you saw enough of that from the Bears in the last two seasons.
Yeah, it comes down to how your GM is going to react in any given draft. And that's a personality thing. That's a risk tolerance thing, because your board never ends up being what you think, because everybody's been lying to everybody, and half the people are going to be wrong, and half the picks are going to suck. And it's in that moment where, I mean, the make or break time in this is on draft day. It's when you're like, ooh, this guy slipped to us. Well, he doesn't really fit what we do. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when your relationship between GM and coach, and the coach is like, I can't use this guy. And the GM has to be like, figure it out, because this guy's good. Figure it out. And when you hire the coach, you got to know that. Here's my vision.